This is an ABC podcast.
Play on. I'm here. Touch. Ball. Play on.
This is play the Conversation on. Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
Both of us heard that before Zara went, before he tapped it. No score.
Jonathan Kendall, today we are talking umpiring. Not only why is there a big shortage, but who would want to be an umpire? Are they still treated badly? I have this vibe, Jono, and I don't think I've asked you this before, but have you ever been an umpire?
Well, spot on. You know me too well, Rish. I have been an umpire before, but only just as a backup. And this was in amateur football in Melbourne, and they were short of a goal umpire, so I stepped into the void. And
how'd you go?
Well, not great. I don't think I wasn't asked back to do it again. Let's put it that way, because there was a goal. Well, a kick went over my head. I didn't quite see the ball. The other team had kicked it, and they celebrated like it was a goal, and they fooled me. And so I, signaled that it was a goal, and then everyone said that was totally not a goal. So
isn't it the key as a goal umpire? Isn't it your main job to watch that ball and to see what's happening,
Yeah,
Johnny?
But see, Rish, and we're going to speak to an AFL goal umpire later. It's not that simple. It sounds really simple, but there's so much going on. You've got to watch the play. You've got to watch where the ball is. And then if you're out of position, if you're not in the right spot, you can't see it. So, yeah, I wasn't asked back. Let's put it. But I was reminded it does happen at the highest levels, because I was watching the Boomers game last night, Boomers USA, and there was a ball that came straight off an American's foot. And it was called that it came off an Australian's foot, and it happens at the highest level.
Whatever gets you through, Jono, whatever helps you sleep at night to just rectify that in your mind is okay by me. But today we're looking at, there is a huge shortage of umpires, both in the suburbs and in the regions, and at an amateur level. We're even hearing, Jono, that some leagues are having to boundary umpire their own games while they're playing, and that this is a part of the solution. That's just how short some leagues are.
Yeah, I think this is happening over in the Horsham District Football Netball League, where in the reserves, in the resis, you have to be your own boundary umpire and throw the ball in for yourself. But many people are thinking, and I guess we need to ask, why is there a shortage? Lots of people think, why would you do it? Because you get yelled at by players. And, a lot of the time after the game, supporters aren't that happy to hang out with you.
Were you a little scared to go to the local supermarket after you called that a goal?
No, but I did get a fair talking to by the players from my team, because I did call the goal for the other team. So I was very cautious of trying to be fair.
Fair enough. And this is a part of it as well. And now, of course, there's no crowds at football, and now there's no community sport as well. So why would you umpire? Some people say it's great money, it pays you to keep fit. Others say, well, there's not a chance I would do it because you are despised by supporters, you're yelled at by players. But how do we get those numbers up?
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
The umpire's son of six times tables. Got a bag full of tricks from what the game enables. For another lemonade and sausage roll, as thick as your arm like a blanket from the cold. Yeah, the umpire's bored. He's got your bag, he's got your boots. He knows when to stay and when to shoot through.
Being an umpire, is that you? Have you ever considered it? Maybe you're thinking about doing it, or have you walked away because it's just not a pleasant experience? How do we get more people umpiring?
We are talking umpires today. Whether you would consider umpiring, and how we turn the dwindling number of umpires around, not just in AFL football, but netball and across all the sports. How do you think we do that? Tammy McDonald is the president at Taylor's Lakes Football Netball Club. Morning, Tammy.
Morning.
How are you dealing with a shortage in umpires?
Look, we're getting there. We work the best that we can. We have a few dedicated ones that do it every week, but then we're normally scratching around a little bit trying to find someone to step up.
Do you have a shortage most weeks when we're playing normally? I know COVID has thrown a spanner in it, but do you normally have a shortage?
Boundary umpires are normally always a bit hard to find, regardless of whether it's COVID or not. Netball is a little bit tricky too. There's more qualifications needed. You have to have done certain courses and everything now to be umpiring. So that always makes it a bit harder too to get umpires.
This is not a new problem though. I mean, I remember when I was playing football and playing all kind of junior sports, there was a shortage in umpires. And I remember with footy, the boundary umpire would usually be kind of a keen youngster who might just be watching a family member play, or they might be just keen to get a little lunch pass, like a free pie or something from the canteen. But do you need more qualifications, or do you still do that on the day? Can you just kind of pick someone out of the crowd to boundary umpire?
Oh, you can do it for football, definitely. It can just be anyone that's willing to give it a go. But the biggest problem we have at the moment is dwindling numbers in the juniors. So you don't have that pool of players to call on to do the jobs, which is one of the reasons that our league did introduce the boundary throw-ins for the reserves, with them doing it themselves.
And how was that taken by the players, given that you're playing and then you also have to switch into boundary umpire simultaneously?
Well, look, at the start, it was a bit of a pushback because it's new and people don't like change as much as we like to claim we do. We don't. But now that the season's almost complete, it's just become second nature. While they're playing, they know that that's what has to happen. And it is done fairly. So if it's in your forward line, then you are the one that throw it in, so that the opposition isn't disadvantaged by having one less defender. So there is rules behind it. And I believe that it's working fine now, and the players just do what has to be done.
Yeah, that's great. But can you kind of throw it into your own team's advantage, do you think?
I don't think so. Most of them are just doing what they would do if they were doing it for the seniors. So they all know how to throw the ball in. So there's a technique to it, and they just grab the ball. And if anything, it's probably a bit quicker because you're not waiting for the boundary umpires to catch up, find the ball and then throw it in. You're actually, as soon as it goes out, the players are on the job and they grab the ball and throw it in. So, and I think most people have the respect that they don't want the opposition to be doing it badly either, so yeah, they will do the right thing.
And long term, Tammy, I mean, in just a moment and after the press conference, we'll be speaking to the Ballarat Football Umpires Association about just how many people are coming through and how many people they're training up. What are the solutions, do you think? How are you going to get more umpires, both for your football and your netball club at Taylor's Lake?
I think it still needs to come down to the culture. We're very strong at pushing with all our players that you treat the umpires with respect, and that flows through to our spectators as well. We've got to develop the culture where we don't abuse the umpires, because you're right, nobody wants to do it if you're going to get yelled at or criticised for the decisions. You're only human. I umpire myself, and some of the dirty looks that you get from players could be enough to put you off. So I don't think it's about increasing the number of people that are coming through training for it. It's about fixing the culture so that more people actually want to do it then.
Just before you go, Tammy, I wanted to ask you about your experiences as an umpire. You said you got a few dirty looks, but have you ever had more than that? Have people abused you or had a go at you?
I've had it actually happen after the game, but they didn't abuse me directly. They have made some quite nasty comments to our coach at the time, and it is disappointing. It's enough to really second-guess your judgment, but at the end of the day, we're all only humans. We call what we see, and sometimes we may not see it right, but you can't see every angle.
It's really well said, Tammy. Thank you. Tammy McDonald, who's the president of the Taylor's Lake Football and Netball Club, and Ian Burrows, who is an AFL footy umpire, who also works here at the ABC, and I was kind of picking his brain a little bit as well, Jono, and he said a very similar thing, and he said, especially for those, and I'm paraphrasing him here, but especially for those younger umpires, just give them a fair go, you know, and just watch what you say and watch how you act, because they're only trying to do their best. Nobody's going out there and deliberately trying to change the game. You know, no one's on the take at the local footy club.
Well, you'd hope not anyway. But he's right. I mean, everyone's trying to do their best in that situation, and sometimes does get very passionate. Cameron is in Braybrook. Good morning, Cameron. What are you thinking?
Yeah, g'day. How are you going?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I used to umpire football in the Western region. I started out as a volunteer at the local football club about 12 years old, 11 years old, and eventually started umpiring for the Western region as a paid job, and found myself doing that for about 6 years or so.
And what did you think of it?
Oh, I loved it. It was a great job, really. But then it was eventually, you know, it gets a bit, you know, tiring and a bit of stressful, and, you know, your supporters are obviously there for their family and just loving it. And they have a go at you, and eventually you crack the poos and not enjoy it as much as you really did when you started out originally. And it just becomes more stressful and traumatic rather than being pleasurable and getting paid for it. So,
gosh, that's a shame, Cameron. So over the years, you sort of felt like you got treated worse.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what it ended up turning out to be. So it was just like, you know, you're there. You know, if it wasn't for the umpires, there would not be the game.
Will you ever go back to it, do you think, Cameron?
Maybe, yeah, when I get a bit older now these days. I'm only 25 now, so eventually when I get a bit older or something, maybe, you know, retire or whatever, just go back doing a Sunday game or something to get a bit of extra pocket money or whatever.
Because it's okay money, isn't it? Lots of people have said it's better than working at Macca's.
I used to do 3 games a weekend sometimes, and I used to make anywhere from $120 to $160.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Good on you, Cameron. Thank you for calling through. Michael is in Northcote. Good morning, Michael. No, Michael's not with us anymore.
We'll have another crack at Michael. Sorry, Michael. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Rochelle. Don't know. Look, I'm involved with the Fitzroy Junior Football Club, and I suppose one of the programs that the YJFL, which is our league, encourages is that we have club umpires that umpire the under-8s, 9s and 10s. So I coordinate that program, and I've got a panel of about 8 young people between 14 and 16. And they go down and umpire those games on a Sunday morning before their own games. And that's a great way for those kids to dip their toe in the water and just build their confidence in being able to control a game and to communicate effectively on field. And I've got to say, the approach of junior football now is to really take that ugly parent element out of football so that it's a safe place for everybody, that everybody's there to have fun, and the umpires are there doing the very best. And as an umpire who's been, I suppose, I just found it a great way to stay involved in the game post-playing, as I've done for over the last 25 years. I still get called up occasionally to umpire a few
games.
And
you're getting paid to stay fit, you're getting involved in the game. But, I mean, we've spoken about the negatives of umpiring and getting abused by fans and all that sort of stuff. But what are the positives? You must get a real kick out of, I guess, the satisfaction of running and officiating a game.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I've seen my own sons also, you know, have come up through the ranks now, and also umpiring field and boundary. And what I see is it takes their fitness to another level. And it's also having one of them particularly loves that the outdoors and would much rather be earning his pocket money that way than having to work in a takeaway restaurant.
Yeah, and lots of people have said that. Michael, thank you. This text saying it's a huge issue. I run grassroots netball umpiring in Melbourne. I've lost up to 30 staff. I have plenty who want to train, but there's not enough time or personnel to train them. There are profit businesses in most major cities that run umpiring school sports. These organisations have to take up the responsibility to help local leagues with their training instead of solely relying on local leagues to train up their own staff to work for them. Lots of issues. COVID has certainly made things harder. We forecast a 2-year recovery period to build things back up in the umpiring community again. And lots of people like Joe in Q, Jono, saying that it's really good in terms of income. She says her son is a uni student. His main source of income is footy umpiring in 2 leagues. He has a passion for football, a deep knowledge of the game and a very sharp mind with zero tolerance for bad behaviour from players and onlookers. He can umpire 5 games in a weekend, and in the process he can cover many Ks and it keeps him very fit. He loves it, but unfortunately due to lockdown it's been putting a stop to those games.
Yeah, which I think has accentuated a lot of these problems, because as we've been saying, this is not a new problem. I think particularly country football and netball have been crying out for umpires for many, many years, and across the other sports too, I think so as well. But I just want to bring your attention to this text as well, because I was a bit sceptical about in the resis, the reserves, the players throwing in their own balls and whether they're kind of throwing them into the advantage of their own team. Craig says, it's a trust thing. If you advantage your team in throwing it in, you expose yourself to retaliation by the opposition team doing the same thing. So I guess you are right. Let's have a chat with Chelsea Roffey now. She's a journalist and a goal umpire in the Australian Football League, otherwise known as the AFL. Good morning, Chelsea.
G'day, Jono. Hey, Rochelle.
Hey, congratulations. 250 games you celebrated last year, am I right?
That's right. I think I'm actually, I don't know exactly what I'm up to, but it's in the 270s. So probably need to update whatever source of
I need to not rely on Wikipedia anymore.
I need your advice, Chelsea, because I got in a fair bit of trouble from my team because I wasn't paying attention. I called a goal when it was a point just because the team celebrated very vigorously. Have you ever been kind of tricked by how players celebrate?
Oh, goodness. I think one of the first lessons you learn in the goals is not to trust fullbacks. They tend to try it on a fair bit. But, look, it's funny, you probably did the right thing in terms of summing up your environment because that is part of the process. You just got to, you know, take a beat to figure out exactly what's happened, particularly if it's a tight one. But, can't get sucked in, Jono.
It's a bit of an unfortunate perfect storm at the moment, Chelsea, for lack of umpires. Both people maybe think you get treated really poorly, you know, both from the players but as well as the crowd. On top of it, we've got all of the COVID restrictions. We've had weekend games not being played. But there's a huge shortage. I mean, a text here saying that they think it's going to be a two-year recovery period to build up the community umpiring cohort again.
Yep.
Do you think that that's the case?
Look, obviously COVID's presented a challenge for a variety of sports and sporting clubs, and umpiring's not immune to that. But I've got a position part-time in umpire growth with community footy for the AFL, and they've got a lot of research that sort of looks at general growth. And I think what the real challenge has come about because obviously in that 2020 period with COVID, that new intake of umpires just didn't happen because generally speaking, growth is actually year on year about 4%. So, people might not realise that umpire numbers actually have been growing. I think 2019 was a really strong year. Things have rebounded a little bit in 2021 despite the challenges, but it's just if you don't get that new intake, the problem becomes how do we service the growth in the game, particularly things like female footy. You know, we know people love to play, but you've got to have umpires to align with that growth, and I think that's where the real challenge comes in.
And we are talking a fair bit about Aussie rules and about netball today, but of course this can be a problem across all sports. So if this is a problem for you in your sport, we'd love to hear your experiences. In terms of your experiences, Chelsea Roffey, has it ever got a bit hairy for you? Have you ever copped any abuse or has it got a bit scary?
Look, you do, particularly sort of working up grassroots, up the ranks there, you are tested. And I think probably one of the draw cards for me personally in developing my skills as an umpire was that resilience piece. And while, you know, abuse is not acceptable and it's something that I think culturally, you know, clubs need to commit to stamping out of the game, it is something that enables you to develop those skills of confidence and backing your judgment and just really getting a perspective around making good decisions and not being affected by other people whose opinions might actually not really be important or accurate. So they are actually great skills for a young person to learn. And so I think part of it is like, yes, there's the odd challenge, but the majority of experiences are actually really positive. And I think when you can bounce back from a challenge like that, it is a really positive result, and you do feel stronger and you do feel more capable in yourself.
You're so right in that you have to have this incredible set of skills, not only a sharp eye, but you've got to back yourself and confidence, you've got to be fit, you sort of almost got to have eyes in the back of your head as well. And it hasn't been that long that women have been umpiring. I mean, do you feel like, you know, when you put on a stern voice and the mum voice can come out, do the blokes listen up and do what you tell them, or will they bite back a bit?
It's funny you say that. Whenever I sort of think back to moments like that, I do remember several years ago now, Fraser Gehrig, if you can remember him as a player. He was out in the field and I was trying to get his attention and I just thought, look, I sound like his mother brandishing a wooden spoon and threatening to do something serious if he doesn't get into line.
Like, if he doesn't clean up his room.
I felt completely inadequate. But, you know, it's our duty to get out and you know, have a presence if it's necessary. But I think, yeah, it's another thing in the way you sell your message as well. I think what I've learned over the years is, you know, it's body language is really important. You've got to hold yourself and hold your space really well, particularly if you're out there and, you know, physically looking at the size difference between you and the guys, for example, you know, it might be intimidating. So you really learn about that body language, how you communicate. And ultimately, you sort of find ways to utilise your own strengths as well. And I think sometimes the players are actually surprisingly alert to the fact that, you know, you are a female or your female voice and it's a different voice, and they might just actually hear you and they listen rather than perhaps, you know, being a voice that is consistent with, you know, all the voices they're ignoring. you know, they're sort of, it's a bit different and they know you're there. Well, so occasionally it's surprising.
You're very brave, Chelsea, to take on, or at least to have a bit of a word to Fraser Gehrig, because when he was at the height of his powers, he was a very intimidating man with a dirty great mullet, and for you to be telling him to get out
the
of it.
The mullets have got worse, though, so let's not even go there.
I will admit they are getting quite, interesting.
That's a good term to use, I think, interesting. Elizabeth is in Ferntree Gully. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to talk about the Knox Regional Centre, which is getting extra courts built, and on Saturdays Mountain Districts Association plays there.
Okay,
so
and this is
in the Knox area.
Yes, and we have had a program for a number of years of mentoring girls for umpiring and boys, and we've turned out some really good fellas and girls, and unfortunately as life goes on and they, you know, they get married or go to uni, so then we just turn around and start another group. So, yes.
And Elizabeth, are you umpiring?
Yes.
How long have you been umpiring?
50-something years.
Wow.
Fantastic.
And
I
am still umpiring and I'm 84.
A high five.
Oh, good on you. See, you're a great advertisement for netball umpiring, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Me with a whistle too, I could imagine.
Well, I told them I would umpire as long as I could run, and my legs just don't want to give up.
I love that. 84 and still umpiring. Well, that just shows how much people love it. Chelsea Roffey is with you as well, of course. Well, she's a journalist, but goal umpire for the Australian Football League, of course, known as the AFL. Chelsea, lots of texts talking about, well, how we treat umpires. Karen in Brunswick says, I have an umpiring friend and he once asked if I make mistakes as a player. My answer was yes, of course. She calmly said, well, sometimes umpires make mistakes too. And if I expected my teammates to abuse my errors, players abuse umpires' errors, but players don't abuse players' errors. Accepting and responding the right way is key. Is that changing? Are you seeing that there's less abuse, not only from the players, but it's probably the crowd that can be more problematic and turn people off? Like we heard from one of our previous callers, he's kind of walked away from it.
I think there's a bit of a social expectation now where people will call each other out, you know, as spectators. And, you know, every now and then, from time to time, there'll be a really negative sort of story that blows up. And I think, while it's unfortunate, it doesn't reflect the majority of experiences. And I think that we are seeing a lot more in terms of people just taking on the responsibility for the sport, to show sportspersonship. I like to be gender neutral language, but to take that on and to make sure that there's a standard. And I think, I know earlier there was just a mention of club junior umpires out at Fitzroy, and I think that sort of program, which we're seeing more and more, and it's a real focus of community umpiring, is to try and get that relationship established with junior clubs. The majority of junior football club umpires also play. And so what we're finding is when you can establish the relationships between the club and the umpires, it really starts to transform the culture and the expectation and just create more of a positive experience. And I think there's a real opportunity there.
I think that's what is great about some country footy leagues especially and metro leagues is that often the umpires will go and have a bit of a drink with the team, the home team after the game and establish those relationships. Stevie is in Mackenzie's Creek. Let's find out if that happens there. Morning, Stevie.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
That definitely happens. Certainly massive praise for Elizabeth that was just on, umpired for 50 years and still doing it. We've got a real problem in the country because I understand where AFL Victoria is going and trying to recruiting umpires from junior clubs, and that may work in the metro system, but in the country, we're all competing for the same person. So there really needs to be a focus on trying to recruit former players.
Yeah, that's a good idea, and focusing on particular regions as well. Chelsea Ruffy will say goodbye to you. Thank you so much for your time. A text here saying, my friends and I made ourselves the Chelsea's cheer squad when she first goal umpired in the grand final. Go Chelsea. That's from Amanda. So thanks. Lots of love for you.
That's brilliant. Thanks for having me. And look, I'm just going to do a quick call to action here. If you want to umpire, head to umpire.asl. To find more information, umpire.afl, and you can, look at what it's all about. Right.
Good on you. Thanks, Chelsea.
We were talking about umpiring and the umpiring shortage that we have, not just in Aussie rules, but in netball and in soccer as well. It's a problem. There's a text here saying the Junior Premier League soccer has added 23 new teams to a total of 48, but hasn't recruited any referees. Numerous games have seen parents stepping in to referee. It's just not acceptable considering the astronomical fees. So this isn't just a problem for Aussie rules, Rish. And also, there's a lot of people complaining about the problem, but some people suggesting a solution as well, saying private schools should include umpiring as one of their compulsory sports. They need umpires in all their sports, but don't train any. This would be a great pipeline of quality umpires.
A lot of love for umpires. Kylie put it beautifully. She just says, I love umpires, full stop. The way they stroll out at the middle of the game, even the goal umpires as well. And a final text from Matt. I was the permanent boundary umpire for my daughter's junior footy league. I wanted to go to every game. It saved the club trying to find a new volunteer every week, and they paid me with a bottle of wine at the breakup dinner. Good on you, Matt. That is a win-win situation. If you did miss the beginning of this program talking about umpires, the lack of them across the entire state of Victoria, then subscribe to the Conversation Hour podcast, Jono. You can listen to it when you go for your daily walk with our allocated walk. It'll give you something to listen to.
So that's the Conversation Hour for today. Thanks for listening and have a good one.